I was talking with a friend. Has a 10-year-old son. Nice kid. Nice family. 10-year-old son. A little bit of a cut-up in school. He's a funny kid, so he can't resist making comments to make the other kids laugh. My friend and his wife had a meeting with school officials, several school officials, who were telling them that, gee, he's kind of disruptive. Got to do something about it. He's disruptive. He's pleasant enough. He's not defiant. He's not oppositional, but he doesn't control his mouth. We tell him to be quiet, and he does, and then a little bit later, if the spirit moves him, he says another crack, gets the other kids going. As I talked to my friend about this unfolding scenario, several things came up. Several common themes that I've seen over and over and over and over again in school settings. I was a consultant for 15 years to many, many school districts, many, many. And I'd sit in these meetings. Here's one of the first themes to occur. A child does some things in class that are disruptive or agitating or irritating. And the teacher does not respond strongly to them. The teacher is either soft or permissive or believes in an awful lot of the notions and theories that now dominate educational discipline. And as a result, the kid sizes up that not a whole lot's going to happen here. And so the kid gets a little more disruptive. And the school people are thinking, what's wrong? Why is this child acting this way? We've got to figure this out. Is it ADHD? Is it allergies? Is it some kind of developmental immaturity? Is there emotional, social, behavioral, cognitive issues? What's going on? In many cases, what is going on is that the big person, i.e. the teacher, is not being firm enough in curtailing the behavior. What then happens is that the child is blamed or is targeted or is assessed as having the problem. Obviously, we've told him to stop. Obviously, we have put consequences on him. We made him sit or we've made him stand outside during recess. But he still does it. So obviously, something within the child is driving him. He's not responding to standard discipline approaches. Well, unfortunately, standard discipline approaches have become very weak in many settings. And if you have a kind-hearted, permissive, soft, passive teacher, some kids just size this up and go at him. After talking with my friend further, he said, well, they came up with a suggestion on how to deal with his behavior. Now, this suggestion that they came up with was put forth by the school administrator. This was her idea. And this suggestion convinced me that my initial speculations may be accurate. If he does something disruptive, there will be 5 blocks placed on his desk. For every incident of carrying on, a block will be removed. If he loses all of his blocks, there will be a consequence. If he doesn't lose all of his blocks, if he has 1 block left on his desk, he's rewarded. Now think about this a second. Let's critically analyze this approach. If I were still sitting in these school meetings like I used to do, I probably would have said to the administrator, how many school days are there in a year? Now, I know the answer to this. It's 180, but I wanted to hear them say it. They'd say 180. I would then say, oh, okay. Now, he's allowed 4 episodes of disruptive misconduct with no consequences other than a block taken away. That's right. 4 times 180 is 720. That means that according to our system, this young man can disrupt the class 720 times over the course of the year and experience no consequences. Furthermore, not only does he experience no consequences, but he is rewarded. He gets a reward if he only disrupts the class 4 or less times per day. What a gig! Not only am I not being disciplined, but as long as I'm not too problematic for the teacher, I get a reward. That's all I needed to hear to convince me that indeed, whatever approach they're using to curtail this young man's disruptiveness, it's not very strong. How can we come up with these kinds of ideas and consider them to be firm adult notions? Furthermore, think about this. There's no doubt in my mind that any kind of savvy 10 or 11-year-old would size up the system and go, yowza, I can mess up 4 times and nothing happens. And then, over the course of several months, as the child continues to be disruptive 4 times or less per day, assuming he stops at 4, by the way, because once you get into a habit, sometimes it's hard to stop that habit at just 4 times a day. And then, when this incredibly misguided psychological approach doesn't work, we turn and look at the kid and say, what is wrong with him? Obviously, he has an impulse control problem. Obviously, there are issues we need to explore. And, of course, the notion of ADHD was raised. And according to my friend and all of the description, this could be a very, very, very questionable notion because the kid gets straight A's. Hallmark symptom of somebody with ADHD is declining grades. He gets straight A's. So, what I'm going to do to you people, you call in here, I got blocks on my desk. If you say something inappropriate, I'm going to take one of your blocks away. The end of the call, if you have any blocks left, I want you to get back on the phone with Eddie O'Neill, and he will reward you. We have M&Ms. We have stickers. We have what you, we, hey, for the girls, we have sweaters. We have sweaters. I'm telling you, it's my new block approach.